Stand by for a rather sensitive procedure with someone well past retirement age.
Richard Henry is the last surviving Fiordland kakapo. So he's the last bird from South Island. And he was discovered as an adult in 1975. And of course, by that time, there'd probably been no effective breeding in Fiordland for, you know, the preceding 75 years. So he could be very old indeed. Could be even 100 years old. And unfortunately, so far, we have had no evidence that he's boomed this season. But this could be our last chance to collect semen from him and preserve it for posterity, or even use it, you know, and inseminate a female with it. So.
Something you don't expect to happen when you're 100 years old. But these are challenging times, and Richard Henry's predicament will be revealed at the end of today's Science Show on ABC Radio National and on the website, where you can still find Cars the Crunch. And today we'll look at electric cars and how they can boost the grid. Hello, I'm Robin Williams. But now, even before we glance at the federal budget, we have to look at swine flu, because Professor Adrian Gibbs from the ANU has raised a startling possibility that the strain has been formed in a laboratory from a vaccine and escaped. His idea is based on looking at the family tree of the flu virus, seeing its origins in both Eurasia and America, and looking at the rate of evolution and how that can tell you where it came from.
The increased evolutionary rate definitely occurs when the virus is changed to a new host. And so what this suggested to me was that the genes which gave rise to this new virus, all of them had started on a new trajectory in a new host at least 7 or 8 years ago. So you can divide up the distances, and knowing the rate at which flu evolves, it turns out that they've been evolving faster over the last 7 years. Now, you then have to say, well, how in the heck could some viruses get from Eurasia to North America and get into the same new virus, and they've been in some sort of ecological situation that has driven them along, namely a new host or something like that, for at least 7 years? Well, there are all sorts of marine mammals that it might happen in, ones that hasn't been found in, but it also might occur in embryonated hen's eggs in the laboratory.
Hen's eggs in the laboratory?
Yep.
So does this mean a scientific laboratory, or does it mean something else, agricultural?
Influenza viruses are grown in hen's eggs for research purposes, but also for the production of virus for vaccines.
You're suggesting that that might have been one of the sources of the
That's
genes?
That's one of the possibilities to consider. And the reason that I've spoken out prior to submitting this to a peer-reviewed open access journal is that I listened carefully and went on the web, and I found no evidence that anybody was considering this possibility. And yet the sooner that the authorities really seriously consider this possibility, that it's an inadvertent escape from a laboratory of some sort, or it's come from a vaccine that's not been properly inactivated, then the better, because it will save lives.
What kind of vaccine could this be? You've got some very sophisticated laboratories in North America, or do they make vaccines in a rather more informal way outside labs?
I think they will be very careful, but mistakes occur. No, there are vaccines used for pigs that are produced by putting together dead virus, so dead whole virus particles. And so one of the possibilities of the way in which this could have been generated is that perhaps two or three virus isolates were put together to make a broad-spectrum vaccine, and they weren't quite as dead as they should be. So that's another possibility. So there are several possibilities, of which that is one, and it should be checked out. Because if that is the cause, then it might be the source of yet another outbreak of a novel influenza and cause yet another big outbreak. And so the sooner that people look into that possibility and open their minds to that possibility, the better.
Where would they look? If they're not coming from the official laboratories, the ones you've been looking at, could it come from an informal source of vaccines?
And for example, if you're a reader of The New Scientist, as I'm sure you are, there have been some two or three articles recently put together in which they state that because the laboratories can't keep up with the changing strains in pigs, that some of the pig vaccines are made by the people who are growing the pigs.
The farmers.
And so that, it's an enormous multi-million dollar industry, and they have the funds to run their own private laboratories.
So it's possible that it could be the farmers themselves in North America or Mexico?
The agribusinesses that produce all the vast amounts of pigs. might have enough money to be able to run their own laboratories.
And inadvertently they make a combination that includes this Eurasian strain.
That's a real possibility, and that is more or less suggested in the articles that I mentioned in The New Scientist over the past fortnight.
So if this warning, as you say, no one else has put out a warning directly as you have, what should they do about it in North America and in Mexico?
Well, I would think that licensing authorities, the regulatory authorities, should get hold of the most recently used virus strains and check out whether any of them are closer to the new novel human virus than any of the ones already in the databases.
My prediction
would be that they would be closer, you see, if this is the source.
I must say people might be surprised that they're thinking that something as worrying as flu could be coming out of laboratories which are involved in agriculture. I mean, surely they would have been warned about this.
You would have thought so, but just think of the enormous foot and mouth disease outbreak that they've had in Britain recently, which cost megabucks and which was caused by an escape from a laboratory. High security laboratories are dangerous places. And dangerous for the people around them and the people who work in them.
Yeah, that was a waste pipe, one wonders.
That was a waste pipe,
yes.
That's right. And you find that there are people who don't take on board the lessons to be learnt.
What do you think in terms of legislation might be warranted?
I'm not really sure, but I would have thought that it wouldn't be a bad idea for current virus strains being used for vaccines for all registered users, lodged in a central independent laboratory that can fish them out and sequence them to check whether or not they've been involved.
A final question. Were you shocked by what you found?
Yes, because we have to learn that we're animals. We're part of a big ecological experiment. And we've got to handle the fact that viruses can, and other pathogens, can move from human beings to related other animals, from pigs to human beings and from human beings to pigs. And it's exactly the same, of course, with bacteria. I mean, it is silly for us to be using antibiotics on the scale we are in agribusinesses just to improve the growth rate of animals, and yet we're trying to use those same antibiotics to control bugs in human beings. We're all part of the same ecosystem, and the sooner that we start thinking in those terms, the better.
Adrian, thank you very much indeed.
Not at all. Nice to talk to you, Robin.
Professor Adrian Gibbs from the Australian National University is a geneticist and a fellow of the Australian Academy of Science. And by the way, the WHO say they're not entirely convinced.